Honesty is key. There are so many things you cannot achieve if you're not honest.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Young Women Transform podcast. I'm Heather Risley with USAID's Office of Education.
And I'm Lindsay Wolf with Youth Power Learning.
In this episode, we're looking at the importance of relationship building. At KCEO, the staff have been able to use their networks to surround themselves with people who can help them with their programs. These relationships are valuable to them and played a key role in their success.
Later on in this episode, we have the chance to talk to some of these individuals who are mentors to both KCEO and the women who are beneficiaries of the program. You could tell there was a strong connection between them. While in lay terms we would call this having friends, the technical term is social capital, knowing people who can help you in your life.
In a place like Kenya, where institutions aren't necessarily as strong as in a more developed country, social capital is even more important for success. Part of attracting the right people is knowing what you stand for as an organization and who you want to work with. Here's Lindsay talking to Rhoda about how they find women who can join the program.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that beneficiary selection process and the qualities you look for in potential beneficiaries?
The most important thing that we look at when we're doing the selection is this woman able to manage the social enterprise? That should be number one. Number two, the women should have the same values as our organization. That is one, honesty, integrity. That is number two. We really value integrity and honesty. And three, trust. Yeah. So we look at the three aspects of values that we have as an organization. Then the women also should be people who... initially, we used to take women who have not been into business. But we realized that those that have been into business make good social enterprises than those who have not been into business. So the most important thing we look at is, are you into business already? Yes. So you must have a startup.
Why do you think that's so essential to be honest and have integrity?
I've realized that most young people, especially those maybe living around or maybe those in the urban settlements, these values have not been instilled in them. And so they end up not achieving their dreams because of lack of these specific values. And that's why we really strive to instill such values. Maybe you can come and join us if you don't have those specific values. But just by interacting with us as a team, we have a team that these values is part and parcel of us. So by just seeing how we live in our organization, you just adapt.
And why is it important that the women start social enterprises?
I can say a social enterprise is necessary. Most people, I can say in Kenya as at now, most people do business to get money. We are not into the business of making profits. For us as an organization, our main aim is to create impact. So this young woman who has disability, who wants to do business, she must be able to create impact. We are trying to create impact in them, to them. And they also should be able to replicate the same in the others so that our community, there is a great impact in our community. Yes.
When you speak to the young women, what support do they say that they need?
Mostly, I can say most support that they need is mentorship. Our business needs consistency and achieving goals. So they would love to have mentors. That is our desire even as an organization, to give the young mothers, each and everyone, their mentor. But someone might be able to get very interested in mentoring me as a young woman with no disability and not get interested in mentoring a woman with disability. So that one has made us not to get the young women one-on-one mentorship as we had earlier thought of, But right now, at least they get a group. They do get group mentorship. But we believe that one-on-one mentorship works more than group mentorship.
I'm really impressed with Rhoda's clear vision of organizational values and how important they are in selecting who they choose to have relationships with, particularly in the beneficiary selection process. I was a little surprised to hear that their central focus is about creating impact rather than making a profit. It seems like a lot of youth employment programs really do focus on wages as the primary outcome. To understand how these businesses work in real life, Lindsay visited a woman named Maureen, who was part of the Young Women's Business Incubator Program. In the course of this exchange, Maureen mentions her relationship with a mentor, which plays an important role in helping her build her business. We'll talk more about that after hearing Maureen's story.
We're here in Kibera. We're going to be speaking with Maureen, who's one of KCEO's Young Mothers Incubation Program beneficiaries. She is a seller of peanuts. She walks around Kibera selling the peanuts and Sim Sim, which is like a ground peanut cake that people eat on the street as like a snack. She's been through the program and received support. We're going to be chatting with her about her experience living in Kibera as a young woman with a disability, how she's been supported by the program, the challenges that she's faced and how they've helped her to overcome those. She's going to have her interview translated by program staff member Rose, who's here with me to help translate the questions and answers into and from Swahili. Maureen, can you please introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you do here in Kibera for your business?
My name is Maureen Achieng. I'm selling peanuts and Sim Sim.
Can she tell us how much she sells the peanuts and the Sim Sim for?
Njugu.
As least money that she sells her products is like 5 shillings, 10 shillings, growing.
And how is she challenged by the disability that she has, and how has her involvement in KCEO helped her with her business?
As she living with disability, whenever she wants to find a job, no one can give her a job because they see that she cannot do the job since she has a disability. That's why she started a business to help support her family. And being involvement with the KCO, she's much glad that KCO gave her a grant seed whereby it supported her business.
Does Maureen have a mentor, and what has she learned from that mentor?
Okay, she's saying that she has a mentor who has been mentoring her with her business, giving a direction on how to run her business and how to save her money that he gets from the business.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Asante.
You can hear in this story that Maureen's business is small, but she's able to support her whole family on the money she makes. Without this income, she, like many other people who are disabled, are likely to be blocked from the labor market. Lindsay, Maureen mentioned that she does have a mentor. Can you speak a bit more about the role that mentors play in programs?
Best practices in entrepreneurship training involve a business mentor, someone who can provide guidance, experience, and support to new entrepreneurs so that they are most likely to be successful in their business long term.
Yeah, within USAID programs, I'm seeing more and more of the role of mentorships, so it's interesting to see how that's being played out in KCEO programs. Now that we have heard how KCEO attracts their beneficiaries, we're going to hear from Rhoda about how they recruit volunteers and mentors to be a part of their organization. You'll hear about how they use a mixture of word-of-mouth referrals and social media, but perhaps the most important thing is they have defined and embodied the values they want to see in others. And now back to Rhoda.
How do you recruit other young people to be involved in KCEO as volunteers and staff?
Most of the recruitment process comes from referrals. Like most, if you come to organization, you get to hear what you do, you go and share with others, and they just come to volunteer with us mostly. Yes. And also social media. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you recruit people online?
If we have, for example, if we have any opportunity in our organization, we normally post them on, we have a website, we have a website, we have a Facebook page, and we also have an Instagram page. And so you, as you understand, many youths get involved in Facebook and Instagram, so they get to know about us through those social media handles.
I'm a fan. I follow KCEO on everything.
I know.
What types of characteristics do you look for when recruiting young people to become involved as volunteers and staff?
I think I'd mentioned it earlier, an honest person. Honesty is key. There are so many things you cannot achieve if you're not honest. You'll fall on the way. Integrity is also another key value. Yes, you have to be a man or a woman of integrity. That's essential. Yeah.
And how do you recruit mentors for the young women?
The mentors mostly are our friends. We talk to them about what we do. And if they're interested, we get them as mentors to the young mothers.
Now we're going to meet some of those mentors that KCEO has recruited. First, we're going to hear from Elizabeth, who works with the Ministry of Industry and Cooperatives in Kenya. She's a mentor with KCEO and has a prosthetic leg. For other women who have disabilities, Elizabeth serves as a positive role model. After Elizabeth, you'll hear from Kevin, who is another leader in the community and entrepreneur who serves as a mentor. Both Elizabeth and Kevin are alumni from the Young African Leadership Initiative, or YALI. We've heard that group before. Many of the folks who were in Uganda are also part of that network. The mentorship session was in a shipping container that was converted into an office and placed right next to a school, so you may hear some kids in the background.
So my name is Elizabeth Manyeni. I'm the co-founder of You for She Initiative. And I also work with the Ministry of Industry, Trade and Cooperatives in Kenya. So Rhoda and I, we partnered to like empower women from Kibera community, women with disabilities. We felt like women with disabilities are being discriminated. So we felt we should empower these women so that they can bring the best out of themselves. We felt that they have the capability, they have the potential to do anything that they feel they want to do. So that's why we came to the women with disabilities in informal settlement.
And you were providing some mentorship to some of the young women today. Can you tell us more about those sessions and what you speak with them about?
So for the women, what we basically did, we first met them, we mobilized the women. We had like 50 of them. And then we like we interviewed them. Then we had like 20 in number. So for the 20 women, we sat with them. We taught them about the business model canvas on the value proposition, the key resources. After the business model canvas, we brought in people, entrepreneurs who are like successful entrepreneurs to speak to the women. Also, I came in as a person with disability who's into trade, and I have like the networks. I also spoke to them about the opportunities that are out there that are being provided by the government, which they can take, like they can use to like grow themselves. So we also taught them about making their business sustainable, because most of them like had businesses, but they didn't last for long. They'll just, 1 year, turn to another business opportunity. So we felt they need to grow with their one business and make it sustainable and run for a long run. So that's basically what we mentored them on.
My name is Kevin Randiek. I run an entrepreneurship startup that's focused on communications and business development. And part of the initiatives I do towards growing communities is sparing time with persons living with disability, just for me to make them see that they are capable of doing what they probably will feel that they're not capable of doing. And that's also just in line with what I do towards giving back to communities.
And what do you speak with them about during the mentorship sessions?
For example, it's always about how do you communicate in simple terms with your primary audience that you're trying to sell to. It's also about how do you even package yourself within your business, in that how do you position yourselves within, how do they position themselves within the communities that they are in. Other discussions that we have is all about them believing in themselves, because they already have a business that's running. So it's okay for them to have in their mind that this can give me my $1, this can give me my $20, this can give me my $30. The other bit is also just to encourage them to, for them to really see that there's life beyond what they are living for. I can give an example. There's one of the persons living with disability who sells spare parts for motorbikes. I myself, as Kevin's, I actually don't even have skill and expertise to identify motorbike spare parts, but she's already doing it. And if she's already doing it, that clearly shows that there's so much power and potential for her to keep on doing and doing. Another critical component is how they can grow their revenues, in that she could be making probably like $5 of profit daily, but then again she needs to understand that by investing this $5, it can grow to $10, it can grow to $30. So partly that's just in a brief on some of the sessions we discuss with them. Yeah.
And do they have, they come to you with particular questions or challenges that they're facing and you work through those with them?
Yeah, they do come with challenges. Like, for example, I can refer to Janet. Janet, who runs an early childhood education center. And she says, initially, one of the key things that affected students, or rather the kids coming to her place, was the lack of food. And through the partnership that she has right now with KCEO, she's introduced a feeding program that just seeks to keep the kids within this particular early childhood center. That's just but a basic example. Others will be how do they want to grow their ventures to reach out to audiences which they're no longer, which they currently don't reach out to. And just on our basic skills in terms of how we look at them functioning, we're just able to probably tell them, hey, you just need to, if you're selling onions, add tomatoes. If you are having tomatoes, please have some chili within your business setup. With that, she's able to attract more and more consumers whom were not there before.
Were you approached by Josh as a YALI alumni to participate?
Yeah, actually, me and Joshua Thambo, we met in 2016. We did a leadership, the YALI leadership project program together for a period of 12 weeks. And I think that's also when our relationship started, because we ended up being within the same group setup for a period of 12 weeks. And as time has gone by, 3 years right now down the line, we've collaborated in Josh, whereby he supported my initiatives when I'm running my stakeholder and consulting projects. I've supported his. And it's a relationship that has grown beyond just a YALI alumni to being more of a family, and to be more of probably us supporting ourselves in different ventures as young people. Yeah, so, and I always say that my vision and mission in this life is, may God grant me the voice and tool to be a voice of reason and inspiration. And that's just me.
I can really hear in these conversations about the positive effects of a network. Josh and Rhoda, leaders at KCEO, met these other community leaders through the YALI network. From there, these leaders are extending their expertise and support to other young women with disabilities in the hope that they grow into leaders themselves. It's really great to hear about how this is taking place organically at the local level without any outside involvement. It really shows how non-monetary inputs to a program, like leveraging a network of volunteers, can make a really big difference. That said, just because there is a network, you need to have a good recruitment strategy and build trust among those people. We're going to end our episode speaking with Rose about those topics.
How do you recruit other young people to be involved as volunteers and staff within KCEO?
there are some that have that passion to work. Some want to work for money, but some have that the passion. By whereby, if you do something good to someone, whenever you pass, they'll remember you. Whenever, even if you are not around, they'll be looking for you, saying what good things you have been doing to them. That's how I can just say I recruit them.
Can you tell us a little bit more about building that trust and having patience? Why is that important in particular?
It is very much important because you can come out, find these youths, but being that they have lived in a community whereby they say these people are misusing us. Without that patience, without that trust in you, you cannot do it. You can fail because some can throw words, you see. And if you can't be patient, you can't take that words. But if you are patient, you can take their words and you can try as much as giving them some empowering, giving them some knowledge in them that they can make them understand that not every person is bad. Yeah.
And Rose, just following up on the topic of building trust, when you have new women in your training sessions or workshops, can you say, you know, how long does it take for that trust relationship to be built? How does that happen?
It takes a lot, but like 3 months when working with them, following them up, showing them that love and that trust, then you can build that trust. Yeah.
And that wraps up another episode of the Young Women Transform podcast. Some of the key takeaways for me when hearing these conversations is that relationship building and creating trust have been critical to KCEO's success, both when it comes to finding beneficiaries to be in their program, but also when recruiting mentors.
Certainly, those are positive aspects. That said, it's also unfortunate that multiple times during our conversations, we heard how women who are disabled are being taken advantage of, and so they are naturally wary of anyone who comes promising to help them. I was struck by how Rose said that it takes 3 months to build trust with these women.
Sure. Yeah, relationship building is definitely a long-term process. I've learned that in my own professional life. Actually, it's one of the difficult challenges we face at USAID since we function on a program cycle, which is usually only 5 years or so. For those working directly on a project, that time span usually isn't enough to create and sustain deep relationships. This is why local solutions to development problems is so important. We have to trust and rely on local people in the countries where we work who have those long-standing relationships so our activities are sustainable. I want to close by mentioning one more thing. If you want to see some of the faces in this episode, you can always go to our YouTube page by searching USAID Education Links, one word. Remember to listen in next week for our final episode of this season as we look to the future.